We're going to read Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to kind of give you a little sum up here of the beginning of the chapter, and then we're actually going to really read verses 34 through 43. So while you're turning there, while you find it, I'm going to give you the little sum up. It'll come up on the screen, these little, this is kind of the context of what we're getting into. There's a Roman soldier, an officer, his name is Cornelius. And he's kind of a worshiper of God. He's wanting to know the truth. He's wanting to know God. He wants, like, he knows there's something out there, and he's stationed in this territory, this Roman territory of Judea. And he's encountered all these worshipers of Yahweh. And he knows there's something to this. And this man has a dream or a vision. And in this vision, an angel comes to him. And it tells him, it, is an angel an it? Maybe it was a he. This angel appears to him, told him his prayers have been heard. God has heard your prayer. And he should send for a man named Peter in this town of Joppa. Now, I've never had an experience like this. Something that definite. You have this vision or a dream. An angel comes to you and says, God's heard your prayers. Send for this guy. His name is Peter. He's in the town of Joppa, and he is going to tell you what to do. Wow. What's really cool is the guy responded to this and did it. I might be checking and questioning, and he responded. And so Cornelius sends men to get Peter. Now, as these guys are drawing near to the town of Joppa, Peter is staying in this house in Joppa, and Peter is waiting on dinner. He's hanging out, waiting for dinner, and what happens, Peter? He takes a nap. But it's not just taking a nap. It says he falls into a trance. And in this trance, this kind of vision, it's like an open vision. He's like, is he really asleep? Maybe. It says he woke up, so I'm just going to say he was sleeping, but he's having a vision. And in this vision, the sheet lowers down from heaven and is full of all the animals that the Jews are forbidden to eat. In fact, some of them, they're not supposed to have anything to do with these critters at all. So this would be like rattlesnakes, you know, coming down in here. You're like, ugh, what are we going to do with this? This stuff's coming down, and he hears a voice from heaven saying, Peter, take, kill, and eat. And he says, no, God forbid I should do this. And he's like, I don't understand this. Well, he has the dream or the vision or the trance. He has this again. Sheet lowers again. And this voice comes from heaven saying, Peter, take, kill, and eat. And he's like, I don't get this. Happens again, a third time. Sheet lowers from heaven. Like, I'm not supposed to have anything to do with these animals. I'm not supposed to eat these. And a voice from heaven is coming down saying, take, kill, and eat. And at that moment, after the third time, there's a knock at the door. And guess what? There's three guys. They're Gentiles that the Jews are to have nothing to do with. They're at the door. And they say, we've been sent from this guy named Cornelius. He's a Roman soldier. We've been sent. He had a dream. And in the dream, an angel told us that we were supposed to come here and we're supposed to find you and that you're going to tell us what to do. So Peter's like, now I get the dream. Now I get the vision. And he goes with them. So Peter goes. Oh, I forgot to tell. I skipped a part. The Holy Spirit actually tells Peter, there's three guys waiting for you and that you should go with them. So he goes with him to Cornelius' house. And when he gets there, Peter finds there are many people gathered there. There's many people gathered. He tells them, guys, it's unlawful for me to be here with you. According to the law, I should not be here because I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile. I should not even come into this house. This is forbidden. But God told me to come. So what do you want? What do you want? Here I am. What do you want? Cornelius tells the supernatural story, tells Peter about the angel and the vision. And then we pick up here in verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Now, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. What a great story. I love these stories in the Bible, and these stories about God at work in crazy ways. It really helps to reinforce for me, God is God. His plans are going forward. When he decides he's going to reach out to a group of people, he's got ways of getting it done. He's not totally, I was going to say he's not totally dependent on us. Can I just say this? He's not at all dependent on us. Right now, in the Muslim world, this same thing is happening. Nations that are supposedly closed nations, I know specifically of, I'm actually, because this goes out on the internet, I'm going to not say the names of some of these places, but I know of nations where there's key leaders in these nations having dreams where Jesus is appearing to them. They would call him Isa in their language, the way you say Jesus is Isa. Isa is appearing to them and saying, "I'm the one. I'm the one you've been looking for." And even in the Quran, it refers to Jesus as a prophet. And so they're at least prepared for Jesus to have some significance. But Jesus is still appearing to people in dreams, and people are being saved without the church even having got there. How cool is that? God is God. He is sovereign. He is moving. He can cause a Roman officer to have a dream and say, "Hey, go get this guy and bring him." I know of this guy, he's in Yemen, and he had a dream, and in his dream, he said he was going to meet this Englishman who was going to bring him the book. And he went on a business trip, and he met an Englishman there who happened to be a Christian. And he brought him back to work it's an NGO, non-government organization, like a non-profit social service organization. And he came back in, and this key guy started gathering his friends, gathering people together into his home, and this guy would come in. I've met him. He would come in and just begin to teach them about Isa, begin to teach them, and they're like, he's got the book. And guys, Muslims are being saved in nations where it's supposedly illegal for it to happen, where you can't have a church, and technically, officially, there are no churches. But can I tell you, there are churches breaking out in unchurched, unreachable, closed, quote, closed nations. In God, guys, there are no closed nations because he's God. He's sovereign. He's moving. He's on the move. And this was said at the New Day conference this week. Either you can get on the bus or you can get run over by the bus. But God's bus is moving. And you can't stop it. So good to know. In fact, I'm grabbing, this is not in my notes. This is all extra. I just want to remind you, in case you're thinking the days are dark, the days are tough, Jesus, just, come back and let's be done. This is what Jesus is doing in our nation right now. These are not statistics from the 1980s. These aren't from the 1990s. These statistics are actually from 2012. So everybody knows, maybe you don't know, our world population crossed 7 billion in November of 2011. So there's over 7 billion people on our planet. Now, 2.2 billion of those people call themselves Christians. Half of that number would be Roman Catholic. So some of those are probably not born again either, and some of them are. Just like some Baptists are not really born again, and some are. And, just because you go to a church doesn't make you Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Right? But we know that there are at least 4.8 billion unsaved people on our planet. But right now, I'm just going to read these statistics to you. Right now, every week on the continent of Africa, 175,000 people are being saved. 175,000 a week. Now, until a year ago, I lived in Montana, which barely has like a million people in the whole state. It's a huge state with like a million people. That's like in 6 weeks, we've got the whole state saved. Whoa. That's what's happening every stinking week in Africa. Every day in China, 35,000 people are bowing the knee for the first time to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is real stuff happening right now in our world. I'm going to throw out a real Christian-y, churchy term. Jesus talks about being born again, that we need to be born and come alive on the inside. Right now in the world, the pace, the born again pace is outpacing the birth rate 4-1. For every person being born right now on the planet, there are 4 people being saved, being born again. The gospel, guys, is on the move. Jesus is on the move in the world. So just because right now in our nation, maybe things feel a little bit sluggish, God is working. He is moving. And we need to remember, God isn't limited by what maybe our media can do or political systems can or can't do. God is not limited by these things. He alone is sovereign, just like he moved in on Cornelius's family and friends, and a bunch of people were saved. God's initiating this stuff every day, all over the world. Now, Peter shows up to him. Peter comes, and he begins to preach. Now, I love that these people were filled with the Spirit, and these people are speaking in tongues. They're not even baptized yet. And they're just, God is moving on these people sovereignly, just breaks in on. But here's what I really, really like. Peter is just preaching Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is moving. And I alluded to this, if you're here last week, I alluded to this there as well, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not in competition with each other for attention. It's not like the Holy Spirit is in there like, hey, come look at me, come look at me. No, he actually points to Jesus. And we can preach a genuine gospel message, very Christ-centered, very focused on who Jesus is, without being somehow threatening to being a people of the Spirit that Jesus told us we should be. And we don't have to worry about trying to be so cautious with spiritual gifts because somehow it's going to draw away from Jesus. We don't have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit trying to, you know, hey, look at me, but don't, you know, ignore those other two guys. I'm the deal. Look, ignore those guys. We don't have to worry about these things. But what we do want to do, because the Father sent the Son and said, listen to him. Jesus said, I'm going to pour out the Spirit and he's going to testify of me. We are unashamedly Jesus focused, Christ centric. This is who we want to be. And yet we can expect God to move in power when we are that. So Peter does this, and I'm going to move through this really fast. Some of these slides, I apologize, they're not going to pop up nice one line at a time because it was New Day this week and I was really, really busy. You're just lucky I got something up there. There's some things that Peter focuses on. He comes in and he begins to speak to the culture. I love this. In verse 34, he says, God shows no partiality. That means God shows no favoritism to one people group or another people group. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or if you're not a Jew. Jew isn't Jew. God isn't favoring you because you're a Jew or because you're not a Jew. He shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. We all get to come on this even playing field. It doesn't matter what people group you are a part of, what background you come from, what kind of money you have or don't have, what kind of clothes you wear or don't wear, what kind of social status you have, how cool people think you are or don't. We all come on an even playing field to God. He shows no partiality. This is talking to every people group in the world. That means Peter's words are for us today. You need to hear that. God shows no partiality. He sends his word to every people. And what does it say in verse 36? That we have peace through Jesus and that Jesus is Lord of all. This is like really simple, simple gospel message. Jesus is Lord and God. You can have peace with God through Jesus. Cool. I'm just going to go ahead and move on to that next slide. Secondly, Peter comes in and he's speaking of the supernatural life of Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's the one that God anointed. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he tells them, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him in power. Jesus is this guy who doesn't just come with a message. He comes with authority and he comes with power. Now, if you're Cornelius and Cornelius's friends and your buddy Cornelius has just had a dream, angel tells him to go to this other town and get a guy who's going to tell you what to do. They go to the town and the guy's actually there and he comes. You're already thinking, something's up. Like, what? If my friend tells me, I had a dream, an angel showed up to me, told me to go to this town and find this guy, and he's going to tell me what to do, I'm like, I want to see what happens. I'm going to be there when the guys get back. Like, either this is totally legit or you're a flake. And there's no either or. You know, either you're on or you missed it big time. And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be stunned or I'm going to laugh. They're all there. They're all gathered in the house. And he begins to talk to them about this God of power. Well, they've already like, okay, this angelic message must have been legit. So maybe this really is a God of power. Faith starts to stir in this room as he starts to talk about Jesus. And he says, I'm a witness. And these guys that came with him, we're witnesses of what Jesus did. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have been saved by the power of Jesus? And you've had Jesus change your heart and change your life. You're a witness. You're a witness, just like Peter's a witness to the power of Jesus. You've got something to say to people. What has Jesus done in your life? Has he got your heart excited about living versus being just depressed and down and frustrated with politics? Has he maybe healed your body or healed your emotions or healed your mind? You've got something to say. You can testify of Jesus. Yesterday, I got to testify of Jesus at our carnival. There was a Native American guy who came in, and his name was David. And he is I don't know what you'd call it. He totally is a part of the Native American religion. And he has cancer. And he said, if it wasn't for the chemo and my medicine man, I would be dead. And I wanted to say, let's just stick with the chemo. But he said, I go to the medicine man and we go in sweat lodges. And he does his thing over me. And that's my faith. And I said, well, he kept talking about his creator God. And that this God has a plan. My creator has a plan. And I need to be okay with this. His medicine man is telling him, you need to be okay with what's happening to you because your creator has a plan. And I thought, what a great open door. I said, you know, actually your creator does have a plan. And he's a sovereign God. And he said, even when the devil would throw something at you that is totally, totally wicked and evil and want to come and steal and kill and destroy your life, God has a deeper plan underneath of it. I said, even if you were to die, God has a deeper plan. And I said, would you mind? I said, would it be offensive to you? I said, I'm a Christian. And so when we're talking about the creator, I said, I look to Jesus, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Would it be offensive to you if I prayed for you in Jesus' name? And he said, no, that'd be great. I said, cool. Can I lay my hand on your shoulder and just pray for you? And he said, yeah. So I got to pray for him. We couldn't get rid of that guy. He hung around all day till we were done. In fact, when I finally left the park, I was the last one to leave. He was still there at the park hanging out. And I got to pray for him. I prayed for God to heal his life. I prayed for his cancer. I think I said something else. Did I say diabetes? I did say cancer? Okay, good. I don't know where that came from in my head. Anyway, I prayed for God to heal his cancer, but more importantly, I prayed that God would get a hold of his heart. And I even prayed that if he's in a sweat lodge, that God would reveal himself to him. So I knew I was getting ready to speak about this Roman soldier, and an angel appears to him. And I just thought, man, God, it's like Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just prayed, Jesus, I don't care where he is or what he's doing. Would you break in his life? And I'm praying this over the guy. Would you, Jesus, just reveal yourself to him. Reveal your truth to him. And he's just like going along with it all. Like, yeah. I thought, dude, you have no idea what's going on. I wasn't able to lead him to Jesus yesterday. But I thought, man, we're planting seeds and getting to pray for people. This is so cool. This is what we're called to do. This is what Peter's doing. Peter's showing up to these guys saying, hey, I'm a witness of Jesus at work. We're witnesses, guys. And here's the thing. Peter says this, and you can say the same thing. Jesus was crucified. He was killed, but God raised him from the dead on the third day. Question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Yeah. Jesus died. He was crucified. God himself raised him from the dead on the third day. And it says, and he revealed Jesus to be alive to many witnesses who ate and drank with him. Real, like real Jesus, real guy. You can hang out and eat with him. Very clearly dead, very dead, now very alive, raised from the dead by the power of God. This is what Peter's telling them. Same thing I'm telling you. And then he begins to speak of salvation through Jesus. In verse 42, this is, he says, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness. It means they all are pointing to Jesus. that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So what's Peter preaching? Jesus, salvation through Jesus, forgiveness through Jesus. And he's just saying, this is what Jesus told us to do. This is what he told us to say. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you the same thing. This is what Jesus has told us to say. This is what he's commissioned you to say. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, 95 or 5. Jesus has commissioned us to say, hey, there's hope in Jesus. There's salvation in Jesus. There's forgiveness of your sins through Jesus. Every wrong thing you've ever done or thought, there's forgiveness for you. Cool. I'm getting excited. Can you tell I'm excited about this? I love the gospel. I love Jesus. And what happens? Peter's saying all of these things. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here, Donald. While he's speaking, four things happen. Number one, I love the terminology. The Holy Spirit fell. Doesn't mean he tripped. He fell on those who were listening. The Holy Spirit's, I'm trying to figure out how to word it. I'm trying to word it wrong. It sounds like he's like the force. May the force be with you. It's not that. The Spirit, this person of God, the person of the Holy Spirit comes upon these people, forcefully comes upon people. It falls upon them. Think about being fallen upon by a band of thieves. You know, it's like you get attacked, you get overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit fell on those who were listening, and what happens? It says they began to speak in tongues. That means in languages they did not understand. And they began to glorify God. So last week we were talking about Acts chapter 2 when this happened. And they were speaking in languages that people could understand. It just wasn't languages they could understand. The people around on the street are coming up and they're going, dude, you're a hick from the back hills. How is it that you speak, you know, Mandarin Chinese? How do you know my language? And they're praising God in these languages that they've never learned. This is exactly what happens here. They began to speak in tongues and glorify God. They believed the message that Peter spoke, and they were filled with the Spirit, and then they were baptized to affirm their new faith. I love this. He's preaching Jesus, and people are filled with the Spirit. That just takes the pressure off. We're going to preach Jesus, guys. We're going to talk about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is going to honor that. He is going to honor the preaching of the word and a testimony that Jesus saves sinners, that Jesus is the King, Jesus is the Lord. What we don't want to do is just ignore the Spirit. Jesus told us to wait for the Spirit, and then once the Spirit has come upon us, then to go out into all the nations. So we don't want to just like pretend the Holy Spirit's not there. This series we've been doing is all about being empowered by God. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So we don't want to ignore that, but we always want to keep the focus and the attention, just like Peter did here, on Jesus. I love this. The Spirit falls on them. The last verse in here. They've been speaking in tongues and praising God. And he says, these are the unclean people that we're not supposed to have anything to do with. And the Holy Spirit has just fallen on them just like he did with us. So maybe we should go ahead and baptize them and just make them part of the church. And what does he say? He commanded them. Everybody say commanded. He commanded them. This is an instruction. It's not a suggestion. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. The attention at the end of this story comes right back to Jesus again. Jesus Christ. And then, surprisingly, they said, could you stay here and hang out with us for a few days? We kind of like what's going on here. This is amazing. So, what does this mean to us, really? Let's bring this home. Guys, when Jesus is preached, faith is stirred and the Holy Spirit moves in power. When we talk about the saving power of Jesus, faith is stirred and people get saved. We're going to talk about Jesus who moves supernaturally and moves in the power of God. Faith is stirred and people are healed. People are set free of chains that we sang about. Chains that maybe even their hearts, they've just been stuck in oppression, stuck in depression, and they're set free. Because faith is stirred to trust in Jesus. I'm losing myself. The Holy Spirit honors the gospel of Jesus Christ and ministers in that context. God is big enough. I'm just giving you several sum-ups here. God is plenty big enough to minister to people on his own. He can do it. Thankfully, he chooses to use us too. Yes, people are having dreams in Middle Eastern nations and in Asia and Africa and around the world, and Jesus is getting people saved all by himself. And yet he says, I'm going to use you and I want you to go do it too. Let's do this together. So I'm just say this to you. Jesus' saving power is for everyone who believes. It's for you. You can be saved. You put your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus, you can be saved. Secondly, this Holy Spirit isn't relegated to yesteryear. He wants to fill you. We don't have to wait for someone to pray for us even. These guys, no one came around and did like the super holy thing and said all the right words and pronounced all the right things over these people so they could be filled with the Spirit. They're just listening to the story about Jesus and the Spirit filled them. Boom. Cool. That takes the pressure off of me. I'm quite happy about that. Now, I'm not saying we're going to never lay hands on people. We're not going to do that. We're instructed to do that. But you can be filled. You can be freshly filled with the Spirit and enjoy life in God today. Even if you're on your even if you're in your apartment by yourself and you don't have anybody to hang out with, you can hang out with Jesus. Jesus will freshly fill you today. He wants to break into our lives with his supernatural power. He wants to minister to Spokane and Rainier, Oregon. And he wants to minister to other people through us. Just like he did through Peter. Did he need Peter? No. He'd already had an angel go out to the guy. The angels just could have told him what to do. They could have done it all without Peter. Jesus wanted to use Peter. Jesus wants to use you to minister to people wherever you are. I just want to pray and ask God to move in power through us. Let's just bow our heads just to kind of tune out everybody else. Just focus in on what God would want to say and do. Jesus, we look to you. You are the